Hello, everyone, and welcome to Celestial Weather. This is an astrological forecasting show where we talk about the planetary weather. So we talk about how the planets are moving through the heavens and how their movements correspond with our lives here on Earth. So my name is June Rose Trimbach, and I'm an astrologer in Olympia, Washington. And today it is Monday, June 18th, 2018. So thank you for listening to the show today. And you may have noticed that I have a new microphone. And I really hope that this is going to help with the volume because so far the show has been fairly quiet and I think probably hard for some people to listen to. So I really hope that this helps to make the show more accessible and interesting for people to listen to. So thank you if you have been listening this whole time while I did not have a microphone. And hopefully this will help. So I'm excited about that. And I'm also excited about the astrology this week. There are some sort of more intense transits going on, sort of shadowy things. And we know, you know, there's a lot of heat in the sky right now, which brings a lot of heat to us temperamentally. You know, we've already talked about Mars being on the south node 2 weeks ago, but now Venus is moving to oppose that on the north node. And we know that the nodes are, they're shadow planets, right? They're shadowy places. They mark where the eclipses happen. And so we know that when planets cross the nodes, we have to be aware of the shadow, right? And shadows reemerging, things that were locked away, you know, in the collective unconscious or in our personal unconscious, sort of resurfacing. And this is, you know, we're seeing a lot of this, and especially with Mars on a node, on the south node, it's a lot to do with shadow aggression. And so with just some of the collective events, I mean, I've been a bit out of touch. I was in the desert for last week. And so I'm not totally caught up on everything yet, but, you know, just collectively in the United States, we're seeing a lot of aggression and a lot of these shadowy forces coming up, right? So Mars on the south node is a good explanation for why now. But we also know, you know, we're going to be coming into eclipse season soon. Not quite yet, but soon. And we know Mars is going to figure in with the eclipses this summer. And we know Mars figured into the eclipses last summer. And especially the solar eclipse, if you remember, in Leo was right on Mars. And we know Mars being the planet of aggression and war and violence, along with the planet of heroism and courage, we know that the shadow forces of these themes emerge during eclipses. So if you're a little bit freaked out, you know, there's a little bit of an explanation, but we're looking at similar energy for the duration of the summer because Mars will go retrograde at the end of this month and will retrograde back over the south node back to a point of Mars's maximum power, actually, and then station direct on a point of its maximum power, its degree of exaltation in very late Capricorn, and then it will move again across the south node again. So, you know, and then there will be eclipses with Mars. So we're looking at a summer of this kind of energy, and I'm sorry to say it, but I mean, the way I see it anyway is kind of a ramping up of aggression and dealing with these shadowy sort of militaristic forces. So we can bear with it, rise to meet it. I mean, it's our choice, and you know, it depends on what we're called to do. But I just wanted to first share that because I know a lot of people are pretty freaked out right now, and that's a small explanation as to why, and it gives a little bit of a time frame as to what to expect. In the fall, likely things will cool down once it gets to, it may not even be until November. I'll have to check, but it may not be until November, until Mars actually moves into Pisces and cools down a bit, right? Because, you know, Aquarius being an air sign is a warm sign, but the South Node is very fiery. It's seen as a sacrificial fire. And I did talk about this on the show 2 weeks ago, but Mars crossing the South Node is really a time to cast away fear into the sacrificial fire. Fear, anger, hatred, all of these things associated with Mars, like a lack of courage, things holding us back from courage, we cast them in, we sacrifice them, and hopefully take some kind of action to rise to meet something with a courageous heart. And I am one of those people that does believe that there are spiritual forces in life that call us to specific things, and that some of us will be called to be more involved than others, and some of us will be called to very different things. So it's a matter of, in my opinion, listening to what you're honestly being called to do and having heart, you know, having courage. And this is so much about, you know, the Leo polarity to Aquarius, you know, is all about the strength of the heart and courage. And so this week we have Venus in Leo crossing over the North Node, and that will primarily be today and tomorrow, with Venus crossing the North Node in Leo. So with Venus on the North Node, it's all about the strengthening of the heart and increase of love. Sure, it can be used for negative things like glamour and, you know, like charismatic sort of power grabs and things like that. But, you know, I think the deeper side always to Leo is to kind of shed the ego and really share from a heart-centered place and really have the strength to show up to situations, whether you're in a leadership role or you're just lending your heart, you know, as much as you can to bring other people warmth, you know, to be a hearth fire in and of yourself, right? So some sort of shadowy Leo tendencies are to absorb other people's warmth, right? So to sort of suck people in, and kind of sometimes there can be like a power exchange of like, you know, you're this giant fire and you're going to burn everything up and you need sort of more logs, and you're just kind of collecting people and just kind of burning them up, right? And, you know, that's, you know, not sustainable, A, and perhaps not very moral either. So what I find really helpful to focus on with Leo's idea that in your heart, you have your own hearth fire, right? And, you know, we do need people, we do need community, but we also can sustain ourselves. And so focusing on the inner hearth fire, and then seeing how other people who are cold and hungry can come and sit by you, and the light that you emanate can warm other people, right? So you're not taking the cold log of another person, right? You're sort of emanating your heat onto them if you have enough to share. Sometimes we ourselves are very cold and hungry. We need to sit by another person's hearth fire and take in their warmth. And this exchange can be, you know, it can be a weird energy exchange, right? If we're sort of using it as an excuse never to get in touch with our own inner fire, our own inner hearth fire, our own nourishment, strength of creative nourishment, right? But it can also be a very beautiful exchange, you know, if we're coming from genuinely like a place of vulnerability and need and taking what someone is naturally offering to us. And then there's the idea of the communal hearth fire, where we're all bringing our individual fires in our individual bodies, and we're coming together, and we're sharing, and we're creating, you know, the third thing. We're creating another thing that's out of all of us radiating warmth and giving. You know, we're all giving light to the center, right? We're all emanating heat and creativity and passion and vitality to the center. And then the center becomes a light with all of our individual energies that we're putting in. And then anyone can come and receive this light, right? You give and you get. And so Leo to me is all about, it's all about the hearth fire and what it means to be a leader. Because to be a leader, to me anyway, feels like it's about feeling into the heart of a community and feeding it what it needs. Like seeing genuinely, what does this community need and how can I feed it? You know, does it need some more leaves or some more wood? And taking it upon yourself to see what it needs and then going out, gathering the logs, you know, metaphorically, right? So whatever your community needs, and then offering it. Because you know that even if you're not specifically getting something back, just making the vitality of a community stronger will feed you. I mean, it will, and it will feed others, right? So this is my thoughts on Leo, and especially with Venus there, because, you know, we know Venus is all about nourishment, right? And love and shared experience and the songs sung by a campfire or a hearth fire, the stories told, the bonds shared by people. You know, when people are able to sort of sing and do their own creative thing, they offer their creative expression to community. So whatever you do, right, you know, so yeah, so whatever it is that you do that you feel maybe you can share that could help nourish people, like now is a really good time to just tune into that and express it, right? And sometimes it's just a joke, or sometimes it doesn't have to be a whole to-do, right? Sometimes it's just a hot meal. Whatever it is, sometimes it is a major undertaking. So tune into this, right? And then we understand that Venus is on the North Node, so there's a shadowy potential. And North Node especially can get really hungry for power. And so we want to be wary of our own urge to have power over others, to take all the logs for ourselves and burn it all up, you know, to sort of, yes, we, to take, you know, consume the intention of others without actually offering the community something. We want to really be mindful of that. And so focusing on the nourishment piece to me. And it's okay to be wrong, too. Like, you can think, oh, I think the community really needs this. Let me try. And, you know, it's okay to be wrong. It's not like, you know, you're trying. Or maybe they just, the community doesn't know how to receive what you're offering, right? And so then maybe it's a different story. Maybe it's a story of your own nourishment and your own hearth fire and just stoking that up. So it can land in different places, right? We know this astrology doesn't affect everyone uniformly. There's a, you know, we all have it. It's going to be hitting our own natal charts very differently, right? So this energy is really important this week. And it, you know, it's really important this weekend when the moon was in Leo and crossing crossing over Venus. I mean, I hope some of you saw that Moon-Venus conjunction on Friday night. It's very beautiful. And again, on Saturday night, they're very close again, too. But looking forward to this week. We don't have anything like that, but we do have, you know, the moon will go through Libra, which is Venus's sign, you know, sort of later on Wednesday and then Thursday and Friday. And then we will get the moon in Scorpio on Saturday, squaring Venus and Mars. So Saturday is a day where some of this tension could kind of come to a head. We actually have a grand fixed cross in the sky on Saturday. So some of the tension involved in these group dynamics could come to some kind of a head. It could be a very positive head, depending on your communities and your relationship to your community. Or it, of course, could be something different depending on how your own natal chart looks. But, you know, Mars on the south node in Aquarius, to me, I mean, it's about the shadow of the warrior, right? You know, one of the shadows of the warrior is just, you know, knowing what you're fighting for. And, you know, or not, you know, are you just kind of a soldier doing what you're told? You know, or, you know, what is your relationship to power in that way? You know, are you beholden unto yourself? And, you know, what does it mean to come into the space of your own courage and come into the courage as heart of community, especially in the sign of Aquarius? And again, there is this like strong thing of severing and outsiders and cutting people off. And of course, you know, we've seen this with the children and the severing. But it's also a thing that's just, it's just up in the psyche right now. So it's something to be wary of, I think. So we've talked about a lot with this, but Mars on the south node, really cutting something off, cutting away the past, cutting away with that which is dead and letting it go, tossing it into the sacrificial fire, just burning it away. It's a great time to do some kind of a ritual where you, you know, burn old things, burn old notebooks, old memories, photographs, things that are no longer meant to be with you. Things like this. And again, just offering courage to community to kind of really take heart, right, in what you have to give and to show up. So then, of course, the other part of this grand cross is, I already mentioned the moon in Scorpio, but the other part is Uranus in Taurus. So last week, you know, we had Venus square Uranus, but this week, you know, it's still kind of close enough, in my view, to be coming into this. So we know that Uranus just tends to shake things up, break things open, crumble things. It just kind of brings up material and it can be very destructive. It can kind of take things away from us sometimes. Uranus is very, it just kind of cracks us open and loosens us up. And so with Uranus being configured into this, it's time potentially of upheaval. And yes, especially with Mars and Venus on the nodes. It does feel a lot of this struggle between like love and war and like strife and violence and love and how we're kind of navigating that and these kind of power relations, you know, in love. And I know a lot of astrologers are talking about it in terms of like a gendered experience, which I think is definitely valid to a certain extent. I wouldn't place it like directly on sex lines of like male versus female or like sacred masculine versus sacred feminine, but rather just sort of place it in this area of tension between between like the courageous warrior, which has the power to really cut things away and cut things down, versus the power of love, which can unify. And it's really a question of, you know, where are we unifying and where are we severing? And sometimes it's perfectly necessary to create severance and to cut things away from community or to isolate yourself. And sometimes, you know, it can be harmful to yourself or to others, and, you know, or both, I suppose, at the same time. So it's a question of kind of navigating that balance, you know, between unity and severance, and where are you seeking to kind of create bonds between people, especially, you know, in community and in leadership roles, and, you know, where are you sort of breaking away, you know, because it's like sometimes a group, you know, sometimes both are happening at once, right? With a group, you're kind of breaking away from mainstream society, for example, and forming a unity as like a smaller entity. And then there can be a lot of severance of like not letting certain people into those like smaller communities, for example. And that's just like a natural thing that happens. That's how sort of communities are formed. But it's a time to sort of potentially like reevaluate that process of as a community, who do you isolate, you know, and who do you welcome in? And potentially shaking up that process. So it could be potentially, you know, Uranus is a strange planet. Could be sort of opening the borders more. And I don't mean, I'm not talking about like country borders. I'm just talking about in general between groups. But it also can be kind of, you know, clamping down or more severance, more severing. You know, which we're seeing sort of collectively in the United States right now anyway, you know, emphasis on the severing, especially with, you know, the Mars retrograde. And then what's going to happen is in the fall, we're going to get a Venus retrograde in Scorpio, which is keyed into the same fixed cross, right? The same fixed axis. And it's going to be keyed in with Uranus again. And so that will be more of a question of, you know, unity and unification. But there is an issue with that because Venus will be in her detriment and Scorpio, which is Mars's sign. So there's a complexity there with an issue maybe. You know, I'm talking collectively, not about people individually who have Venus in Scorpio, but just sometimes it can be hard to navigate the process of unification, you know, when Venus is in a severing sign or Mars's sign. So that was a lot, but that's kind of how I feel. And again, it's like hard to say how it's going to play out in an individual chart without looking at it, because we're all very different. So on Saturday, the moon will be in Scorpio and will be sort of, you know, bringing some of this stuff up and really calling our attention to it, bringing the light of this energy down to Earth. And moon in Scorpio is always an intense time for me, because when the moon's in Scorpio, it's just, I personally feel everything very deeply. So it could be, you know, some people really vibe with it a lot better. But it can be this thing where, you know, things become very drenched, like, you know, drenched in water. And these dynamics can become felt very personally. And so we kind of can struggle with the deeply felt emotional experience of these changing dynamics, right? And the nodes are essentially destabilizing points. And so as, you know, these relationships change, you know, our relationship to these planets, our own strength, our own courage, our own ability to unify, to glamour people, and to love people are shifting, you know, it brings it down to a very deep personal emotional space. So we're looking at a pretty intense weekend. And I mean, it's not to say like anything bad is going to happen necessarily. It's just to say that, because it could also be like a powerful kind of cracking open where dynamics maybe have been stuck, you know, and kind of cracking them open and bringing change into these. And, you know, what we have here, it, I mean, it is this weekend, it is a configuration of all three nocturnal planets, the Moon, Venus, and Mars are the three nocturnal planets, which means they're the planets of nighttime, which are the planets more of interpersonal relationships. Because what happens at night, we stop focusing on work and like the activities of the day, and we start focusing more on being at home, being with our loved ones, telling stories, right? Or, you know, whatever it is that we do now in the modern world. But these night planets are very much to do with relationships interpersonally and our feelings about relationships and intimacy, sexual intimacy, or just regular platonic intimacy. So with Uranus moving into Taurus and being configured in this way, we're looking at potentially a big shift in the way that we have related to people in the past. And yeah, a shift into maybe a new way of relating to people, a new way of finding intimacy. And intimacy is not always serene, right? I mean, we're talking about Mars too, which can be a very aggressive planet. Intimacy can be very aggressive. I mean, you know, we fight with the ones that we love. That's a natural part of it. So when we're talking about shaking things up in intimacy, we can also be talking about, you know, aggression being let out, you know, along with love that was never expressed, you know, being let out. So it's an upheaval, it's kind of an unraveling. So there can be a lot of change, but it's like, it all depends kind of like where you're already at. You know, the things that have been held down and stuck in regards to these things can be kind of set free, and energy can begin to move for the first time in a long time. It's just that there is a lot of shadow around power and power dynamics and like who holds the power. And I really see this a lot with the Leo Aquarius axis, because it's, I mean, it is the axis of like the king and like the sort of like, I think of Aquarius sometimes as being like the intellectual elite too, who are sometimes, and also outcasts, of being like the king and the outcasts, or like the king versus like, this sort of like an elite group of sort of erudite intellectuals. But it can also just be the king versus the greater community. And so, you know, these dynamics and power, you know, who's at the center and are they really a good leader? So it's a lot to navigate. So now to kind of return back to what I started to talk about at the beginning, and maybe just like, I'll just leave a second for people to process everything that I just said. Because that was a lot. And there's a lot to do with personal power, right? And the way we're navigating that. And it's also like the shadow can also be good things too. Like things coming up that we haven't seen in a long time can also be like really wonderful parts of ourselves that we have just shut away in the shadow because, you know, whatever, we are afraid of them or whatever. And so the shadow and like things being revealed, it's not always like these like terrible secrets. I mean, it can be, you know, but so we just, yeah. There is a very playful aspect to this too, I want to say. Like Leo and Aquarius, notoriously playful signs. And so it's like a really fun time to just do like a crazy group outing. I mean, don't do anything too reckless or dangerous because there's some like, you know, But just, you know, because with Uranus, you know, unexpected things, you know, we don't want any unexpected injuries happening. But it's like also a really fun time to just do like a powerful, like collective release of energy, where it's just like kind of go crazy for a second and like have a big party, right? So yeah, so you kind of just have to see where things are at, I think. But the other energy that's really different, and I'm just gonna take a breath here. So that energy is all very hot and boisterous, right? Now we're gonna talk about another thing that's happening this week that's very different. It's very cool. It's very watery and very wet and cold. So what we have this week is a grand water trine. And it, of course, involves Neptune, which, again, like I said, Neptune stationing retrograde. Neptune stationing retrograde. Like today, like right now. I mean, it's happening, like right now. So, again, just to touch on this again, Neptune going retrograde, we fall into our own illusions. Sometimes the illusions are necessary. Sometimes we fall into the illusion of our own soul, so that we can get to know our soul better. And these things are perfectly natural. We all experience them in our life. Times when we have fallen into the illusion of our soul and then woken up to a reality that does not match. So one of the things that I've been thinking about is that there are different ways to do this. I think we can fall into the illusion of our own soul in order to know our souls better, in order to know ourselves better, in order to know life better. Sometimes it's so meaningful, right? We cherish a love, for example. You know, Neptune is often this way. It comes out through love and infatuation. You know, we can cherish a love because there's a longing so deeply in our heart and our own soul to love that way, so unconditionally, until enough time has passed and we wake up to the fact that it's, you know, totally not what we thought it was. And it can be very painful, of course, there's all of that. But it can also be like, you know, it's not only just that we were an idiot and we tricked ourselves, right? There's a deeper piece that tells us about who we are. And sometimes there's an innocence factor with Neptune where we haven't seen something before and we just assume the best, right? But it shows us something about, you know, what is innocence? Innocence is something before it's ever been harmed, right? Like a baby doesn't know that fire is hot, so it might just stick its hand. But all it's showing is the natural inclination towards curiosity before pain occurs. So it can show us a lot about our natural impulses. And so it's important, I think, to distinguish, you know, there can be a lot of other kinds of illusions that we have, you know, about work or family or like expectations that we have or whatever it is. And I think that there can be a distinction made between when we fall into our own illusions because of a soul need, like our soul needs us to experience this. So we just fall into it. And it's like, we need this. We need this illusion. We have to live through this. We have to live through this in order for like our survival. And then there's a different kind of Neptune experience, I think, which can be sort of a deception in order to keep us from our soul. If that makes any sense, like a deception that keeps us from knowing ourselves more intimately, that keeps us from really going down into what our soul is really longing for. And I think those kinds of illusions are different entirely, but probably equally painful. So it might be helpful potentially to sort of just look around that world, like look around at your perception. And it's really hard to see your perceptions, right? It's really hard to see them. But to just kind of look around your world into perception and see, you know, what are we seeing? How are we seeing, you know, looking at your lenses? And like, what are the lenses that you're putting on? Neptune has a very strong mystical component. And I think it is connected into things like channeling, meditation, connecting with the great expanse and the great mystery and spirit. And in a way, it's another perception filter. In a way, it's truth. It's all what we're called into, right? Neptune puts us into a different framework. It can be really hard to even like have distinction with Neptune, even to really say that's an illusion and that's the truth. It kind of, it's like a incorrect framework, you know, when working with Neptune. It's like, it's more of a felt experience about feeling into all that is around, feeling into the depths of your own soul and your own soul longing, and seeing the world through the soul longing. It can be really powerful, I think. So as our consciousness is drawn into this week, I kind of want to invite you to sort of suspend your judgment for a minute and just use it as an opportunity to get to know yourself in a deeper level. Because I feel that there's something there within all illusion that can tell us a deeper story about ourselves. So what are the things that we really cherish, the ideals that we really hold on to? You know, there's a component about beliefs, you know, I mean, it's, Jupiter is also configured into this, you know, the planet of beliefs and faith and leadership and preaching. And it's a really powerful time to do a deeper connection, a deeper personal connection. It's a time we can really get swept up in collective beliefs too, and collective illusions. So I think it's important also to just come back to the self and come back to the personal longings of the soul, personal beliefs. You know, and then take those to community, because it can be a really powerful time to, you know, to lose yourself in something bigger, right? So then the other planet, so it's Neptune in Pisces, Jupiter in Scorpio, which is really deep, and then Mercury in Cancer. So it's really psychic time, so I want everyone to think about what it means to have psychic boundaries, at least, because it's like we're really susceptible, you know. So it's like, you know, just want to be careful if you're getting up to like any like debaucherous activities. I just think it's easy for us to be susceptible to kind of like taking in unwanted energy. But it's also just like a really powerful time to just daydream, journal, write, make art. So with Mercury in connected with this grand trine, you know, it's pretty much now, because we're looking at, you know, now we have Mercury is applying to Jupiter, and then it'll trine Jupiter like later, sort of tomorrow, and then Wednesday, and then Mercury will be applying to Neptune, and then we'll trine Neptune sort of, you know, between Wednesday and Thursday. So, and then Mercury will be kind of separating. And then it will be applying to Pluto, you know, getting closer towards the end of the week and the weekend. And so then what we're looking at is a really deep cleansing of the mind. So this week is there's a lot. It's like I urge you to meditate, and so just commune mentally, and to kind of like let go. Like if you have a deadline that you're trying to live up to, it's really, you know, it might be hard. So I'm sorry about that. It's not the type of mercurial energy to sort of, you know, get a bunch of stuff done like really fast. You know, it's a type of mercurial energy that's like, where's the rhythm and where's the flow? Like, it's still highly creative and fertile, but it's like, where's the flow? Like, let's get into the flow of the day. And like, you know, and even if you're at work, it's like, you know, it can be really powerful for like sensing other people's emotions and having really fluid connections and really intimate perceptions about people, and just like meaningful deep conversation and really talking about some deep stuff, emotional stuff. So getting into the flow and the rhythm of the day as much as you can, and perhaps letting go some preconceived notions about the way schedules are supposed to be. And but it's a really creative time. It feels a little bit like slowing down. It's really interesting, because I mean, I'm sure you can tell that this conversation is really different from the previous conversation, but both of these things are happening this week. So with like this kind of frenetic change energy and like fire energy in the background, where like community is kind of calling, and you know, where is the heat and the heart and the center of community? Whereas like mentally, we're being pulled into like our imaginations. If we weave these two things together into something that, you know, crosses over, it's like, you know, we're weaving into this dreaming about what community could be, and dreaming about what our place in community could be, and taking, you know, I think maybe, you know, and this is just an idea, but taking some leaps of faith. You know, we understand Jupiter to really be about a leap of faith. With Mercury, you know, trining Jupiter, it's like mental leaps of faith, or kind of like, well, what if? Maybe this is possible, you know, and sharing that out, you know, with the world. Oh, maybe this is possible. What do y'all think? I'm dreaming this new vision. What do y'all think? And that's an idea of how they can kind of, these two themes can kind of interplay with each other. Now, of course, as always, and I always say this, like, this might not be at all what you're experiencing, and likely it's because something else very important that has a very specific meaning in your natal chart is being activated, but I could never know that until I looked at your chart, for example. And so it's like, you know, the things that I, you know, we can sort of say is just more dreamy thinking, right? And maybe some anger and frustration coming up that we need to let go of, right? Those are just sort of very general things that we can say about the transits this week. So getting into the end of the week, so with Mercury opposing Pluto on Saturday, it can be a really powerful time to do a lot of work. It can be like obsessional thinking, really deep thinking, kind of just like probing, like following the thought all the way down the rabbit hole, like digging, digging, digging in the mind, digging, 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 digging. It can also be like a really powerful time to cleanse the mind, like get all that gunk that's gotten caught up in your thought processes, just like trying to cleanse it out, like a bath or like a walk or something, just like reset and restore. So it's like a really deep probe of the mind. And so hopefully, you know, it doesn't lead to like intense thoughts and like headaches, because sometimes it can be if we're just probing too much. So sometimes there can be a need to just like reset and rest. But it can be a really powerful time to just do like really deep processing, like journaling, just really writing about all the deep inner material and like really deep conversations with people and that kind of thing. And then we also have the sun moving into Cancer. So Gemini season is ending and sun moves into Cancer on Thursday. And so this is the summer solstice, right? When the sun moves into Cancer. So we are at the height of light right now. The height, well, in the northern hemisphere. If you live in the southern hemisphere, then you're at the height of darkness right now, where the nights are much longer than the day. But up here in the northern hemisphere, it's the longest day of the year. So, if you do some kind of solstice celebration, it's always wonderful. But the way I do see it as a time of honoring, you know, honoring the turning of the year, because the length of the day is going to start switching, right? So here the days are going to start getting shorter, right, after Thursday. So solstice means sun stop. So it's the closest thing that we have to like a planet going retrograde or something, like stationing and changing direction. It's like the solstices are kind of like that for the sun. But obviously, you know, the sun never goes retrograde. But it does stop in its apparent motion where, you know, it's getting, from our perspective, you know, the sun is setting further and further, you know, to the north, and rising further and further to the north, right? And then it's going to stop and start setting and rising further and further to the south. It's going to start moving south again, right? So this direction of like the sun, where it rises and sets, and, you know, the angle of the sun, you know, making its circle around the earth, you know, with the earth spinning on its axis, right? It's been moving northward, and then it's going to stop and start moving southward. So it's like a stationary point in a way. So sun stop, solstice. So that means that the sun will kind of dominate our consciousness a little bit at this time, right, on the solstices. So everything related to the sun is heightened. So purification is the first thing that always comes to my mind. So the sun is like, I mean, it's a light that purifies, right? I mean, it bleaches things, it kills germs, it kills mold, you know, it kills those kind of creaky, old, dark, mildewed parts of ourselves, right? Just laying out in the sun, you can feel yourself, you're drying out. Your soul is drying, like all of the, like, dark, emotional, difficult things when you lay in the sun, it just gets dried out for a moment, right? And it's a purification process. So it's a really powerful time to honor that, right? And so in the northern hemisphere, it's like the height of the sun, right? So we're honoring like the height of the power of purification. We're honoring like the strength of light in our world, like the strength of clarity and sight and a vision. And so it's a really powerful time to just give thanks for that and just be in the sun and just like be purified as, you know, as we can by the summer. If you're in the southern hemisphere, it's like the light of the heart of the darkness, which is, it's a major theme, you know, throughout human history and humans in our interest in ceremony and ceremonial techniques. I mean, it's always been an important piece. That's why people have built like stone enclosures for meditation and gone into caves to seek visions. They're going into the dark, right? They're going into the darkness to find an inner illumination. And that's like what the winter solstice is about. So if you're in the southern hemisphere, it's like in that darkness, shrouded in darkness, in the middle of the night, the cold, you know, in the middle of the unknown, like essentially the night, you know, is equated with the unknown and mystery, which is very powerful in and of itself. And it's that moment of illumination at the heart of the mystery. The winter solstice, beautiful, beautiful time. So it's a celebration of the truth that's found in the heart of the unknown and the heart of the mystery. And so it's a very powerful time to just connect inwardly with that, and connect with the inner light, and connect with the inner source of purification that no matter what the fuck crazy, excuse me, I just swore, excuse me, no matter what's going on in your life, you know, you can tune in into the center, into your center, right? And find that place, find that center, right? And it does exist. So, that to me is, you know, what the solstice is really about. And so it's a celebration of the sun, right? Whether it's external clarity and illumination and the purification really coming down, or whether it's, you know, inner clarity, inner illumination, right? And purification coming from within. So very powerful. And la la la. We also have the moon is waxing this week. So we know with the moon waxing, we're gaining our strength. We're gaining in abundance. Things are growing. So we're in like this strong growing phase. You know, the moon is waxing. We're going out into the world. We're gaining strength. We're gaining fortification. Our bodies are increasing in power. Yeah, and so this is where we are this week. And, you know, there are some there's some deep things happening, some shadow work, some deep things. But, you know, overall, I think it's a really powerful time to just kind of unleash yourself and really connect with a deeper place. So I feel like I'm nearing the end of what I need to say. And it feels good. It feels like I've mostly said what I need to say. So I think I'm just going to check in with myself. The last thing I just wanted to add is actually that Mercury is coming out of the beams of the sun and reemerging as an evening star. And as Mercury is doing this, it's aligned with the fixed star Sirius. Sirius is a star, a really, really bright star, in the dog constellation. And it was always associated with Isis, in Egyptian cosmology. So it's a star associated with the goddess, and it's very sacred. And Bernadette Brady talks about it as making the mundane sacred. And I think it's a really beautiful thing to bring in. Because it's such a bright star, it carries power similarly to the royal stars, which it's always a thing with these stars, like there's a lot of power. But we have to be mindful that we don't misuse the power. So with Mercury crossing over this very powerful, kind of regenerative, purifying star, that's, you know, sort of about the sacred and making the mundane sacred, you know, we really have to honor what is sacred in our lives. And we can really conceive of these things now, or share these things, or write these things. It feels like it's adding to the potency of the mind right now, and the potency of the things we can conceive of, the things we can write and create, the messages that we can receive. It feels like there's a lot of regenerative qualities right now that we can absorb. And she does say in one point in this, the Fixed Stars book, that with the star, you kind of, things you could say could go farther than you think, like things that you implement could go farther than you think right now. So there's a lot of power, I think, right now, in writing and communicating, to the world. So I just wanted to add that little bit, that there is this kind of mythic quality right now, connected with Isis, you know, the goddess. So if you feel called to look more into her, that would be really interesting to do this week, to connect with her a little bit. So yeah, so that's a potential invitation as well. So I think that's it for me. Thank you so much for listening to the show, and I hope that this week brings you, you know, a lot of illumination and understanding. And my name again is June Rose Trimbach. My website is juneroseastrology.com, and you can also listen to this show on Hollow Earth Radio. So you can tune into KHUH 104.9 FM Seattle, or you can listen at hollowearthradio.org. So thank you so much, and have a great week. Okay, bye.